Let's fire this off for episode 890.
So it's 890. Let's go.
Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Back Show!
Who's the best show here?
Back Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the guest, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no fuddy duddies that are linking bad. For the streaming, go direct to DLFTS.org. And I see challenges at LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the gala's just about to begin.
Wow. All right, welcome to episode 890 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Wiring some pots.
We have Joel.
Coming from Kubuntu 2010, yes.
And we have Joe.
Here I am.
And yeah. What are you wiring, Pat?
Pots from the car. You know, the little volume and tone knobs.
Oh, I thought you were talking about plain old telephone service.
I don't smoke weed. I don't do drugs and stuff like that.
No, I was trying to think
plain old telephone service.
Okay, I got it.
That pots are short for potentometers, you know.
Potentiometer.
Yeah, the little, twisty knobs.
How's that coming along?
It's good. I'm building a Fender Telecaster.
There you go.
Awesome.
We actually have a little bit of Linux news this week.
Yeah, I saw you posted that.
Yeah, for those who don't know, CentOS is pretty much history. There's been several other Linux distros that are cropping up, but Red Hat has come through, and you can sign up as a Red Hat developer. You can download and use Red Hat Enterprise Linux, the current version, which is, I think, 8.2, on up to 16 production servers. Which is pretty amazing. So, and I think you can have development servers as well. So, that's good news. Now, that's not going to help somebody like my company, where we have quite a bit more Red Hat server, or actually CentOS servers we have, than that license would cover. But it's pretty cool stuff. And I believe it will also let you download updates from the RHEL repositories too, so it's not like you're going to be operating a security compromised version of Red Hat. So it's good stuff. And Link actually posted up on his Link has revived his linkgeek.org blog, and he's posted a blog post on that as well. So if you have any questions about that, that's actually a really good resource for it. So, good stuff.
Yeah. So this is a free, self-supported. So
correct.
Yes. So if you're going to, you're not going to get support, like official support. You'd actually still have to pay for that.
You still have to buy your support contract through Red Hat. Red Hat / IBM, since IBM owns Red Hat right now. So, but yeah. But it's good. It's kind of, in some ways, it's kind of going back to what it was before RHEL existed, back when it was just Red Hat. Like Red Hat 6 was the last version I remember, and you can download that and burn it. Yeah, it was free at the beginning. But in any event, this is a good change. And really, I think in some ways it makes me think of why. Why did they do it this way from the first place? You know, because I don't know. There's just quite a bit of people, enough of people who know Red Hat Linux is like, if you don't need to pay them for support, and all you want is access to their repositories, there you go. So, Yeah, Mordancy says RHEL changed their policy to counter Oracle reselling free RHEL. So that was back when they made their policy changes, I think, beforehand. But and let's face it, Red Hat's probably still the most popular Linux on a server in many spaces. Especially if you're at talking at a corporate level, probably. So, but that's a good one.
See, I don't know, man.
Also, I need to read up.
I'm Red Hat is fantastic distribution. Although I will say, I question it. Like, it depends on the industry you're in, though, too, I think. Like,
true.
Like, the industry that I'm in,
Ubuntu is probably the next one.
Well, the industry
but
that
you
I'm
run
in,
Ubuntu, right?
No, we don't use. We did CentOS in our containers, but we've been moving more towards Alpine. And I truly don't think, like, we're always looking to save money, right? We're going the cheap-ass way of doing
right,
it.
Right, right.
And we're not paying support to anybody, and we've never really had to. So I truly think, well, so we were on CentOS. That's right. What am I saying? I'm the one that built the container. We moved from CentOS to Debian. And I built that container, and then also we've been doing Alpine too. Now, one of the reasons why we couldn't go with Alpine to begin with, and we wanted to start with that, but Alpine is great distribution, but is not built from, GNU libc. It is, oh crap, what is Alpine built with? It's Muscle Libc. Muscle Libc as opposed to GNU Libc. And there is like 95% compatibility and all, you know, most stuff works. There's just a few things that you may run into, and we did run into that didn't work. Like one of our major applications that we use, our CMS system, like all our other applications were working fine. We were able to get Couchbase compatibility, all that stuff in there. But it was our CMS system had some hooks in it that just was not going to run on Alpine. And as since we're redeveloping and reimagining our CMS system and all our surrounding architecture and applications, we're bringing Alpine back in. Now, I don't know. I would say if I was like running, it depends on the system, I guess, like the company or what your purpose is. Red Hat Linux is fantastic. I don't know if I would use it for Node.js containers, though, you know, or even maybe PHP containers. I think there's slimmer things that you can use for that. So, I don't know. Where am I going with this? Where am I going with this, Joel?
It's good news.
I don't know. So, but no, it's fantastic that you can run 16, up to 16 servers in production. Like that. And I guess yep. Their developer program allows you to do development on Red Hat RHEL at no cost, if I'm not mistaken. But you know that's some good news. Good on them. You know, they're doing what they can. Anyway, I'm sorry.
No need to apologize.
I should.
Because really, what more can you say? You know, I mean, it's there. Use it if you want. Yeah. And if you don't, well, you know, hey. You know, but The other thing I noticed too is when you do sign up as on the developers.redhat.com website as a developer, so you can get that, you can also download books for nothing too. I got a book and a couple books on Kubernetes and a few other things too. All ebooks in PDF form. So that is also a thing.
Wait, what was that?
There was a set of books that you can also download when you log in. Once you log into your developer account, there is a section that has books in it as well.
Do you like reading PDFs on your phone?
No. On my phone, no. On a tablet, yes. And on a laptop,
recipe
yes.
Books in PDF are okay.
Yeah.
Does your PDF application save your page?
No.
No, I don't know. I haven't tried putting any over on my iPad yet, which is my tablet right now. Although I probably could just open it up on my Surface as well, but that would just use standard old Acrobat. So I'm sure that doesn't do it. But see, Kubernetes operators, native cookbook. They also had some really good cheat sheets, like advanced Linux command cheat sheet. Oh, that's one I'm going to have to grab, the Kubernetes cheat sheet, container cheat sheet, Podman basics cheat sheet. Interesting stuff. So there's that. Oh, Podman is the Docker replacement. That's interesting. So basically, Podman is Red Hat's Docker. More Nancy's listening, and I'm reading the stuff in the IRC for once.
I thought Red Hat Linux was fully in on Kubernetes.
That's what I thought. Always thought.
Well, you know, I know they were doing some pod stuff.
A pod is a minimum measurement unit in Kubernetes. Interesting. Well, we're using Kubernetes, so. when we finally start doing containers, that's what we're going to be using. So, although I don't know how, we're kind of officially kicking off like an engineering portion of our team. I probably won't necessarily be on that. When we go in post show, Dan, I'll talk about some things that's been going on, stuff I just don't want on the stream necessarily.
Recording.
Good stuff. Yeah. Stuff. Some churn I want to talk about and your thoughts on some of the stuff. So.
Promos.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think what else.
Well,
I want to talk about. Go ahead.
I got that arcade one-up machine put together.
There we go.
Yeah.
How's that?
That's good. It's good. It's stock right now, but I got I got most of the parts I need to modify it. It just means I got to take it pretty far apart again. It really wasn't all that technical to put it together. I mean, really, it's like putting together Legos.
It's like
Legos.
Putting together IKEA furniture.
Yeah, and got it all put together in about 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and up and playing. Let the kids play with it for a while the way it was, and took it out to my garage so it wasn't in the way anymore. And I've got the controller board for the monitor, but I still need to order an arcade controller. Like I was saying before, I'll probably start out with one that connects over USB and is completely pre-built, even if it's crappy. Because then later on, I can come back and make whatever changes I want and, you know, take my time actually building a proper arcade control setup.
What are the internals like on that?
Really, they're enclosed. But
it's just like a single board computer, I think.
Yeah, it's all enclosed, so I didn't get a good look at it. I didn't take it far apart enough to look. But from what I understand, from what I can see from the controller I bought, it's a lot like a laptop. So,
right. That's cool. Kind of on the similar lines, Tronix fixed one of our favorite YouTubers. Did you see he tore down the new Atari VCS?
No, I haven't seen that one yet. His most recent one that I saw was he got, what was it, two broken Xbox Series X?
Yeah.
The new ones?
Yep, I've seen that one, yeah.
So I've seen that, but if he has another one out, I haven't caught that one yet.
He does. Yeah, he took it apart, and I didn't know this, but that VCS Atari VCS runs a Ryzen chip for the main system chip, and like the pad, I think when you order it, it comes with both a traditional Atari style joystick and a more similar to modern game systems, a D-pad of sorts with two analog sticks. And the analog sticks actually are made out of metal. They're not plastic. But other than that, you know, the batteries are kind of small. Like it's 900 milliamp hour in the control pad and 1100, I think, in the joystick. But to me, it's not a huge deal because controllers don't really need tremendously huge batteries, considering you're not using them like you're using a phone all day.
Well, so, some people are.
Yeah, some people might be. Definitely not me.
Yeah, I haven't played a game in a while now.
Yeah, I haven't played around with them. I've gotten several of the games. In fact, I actually probably should look and make sure I drop my Stadia Pro subscription, because I don't really play it that much. It does work, even on my 50 meg down. It actually works decent. It's not great, but decent. Good enough to play, you know, to play as horrible as I play. But my biggest thing is there's just not, I mean, I don't, not into Borderlands or Witcher or even Cyberpunk, which any of the AAA games that are out, I'm not really into. I'm more into the retro stuff. I'd be happier if they, you know, there's actually, speaking of retro, Humble Bundles had a ton of that. We talked a little bit about that in the last couple weeks, but like they had an Atari one, and then I saw a Day of a Dreamcast one. Of course, none of this stuff runs on Linux, but it's there. But I'd be happier with Google Stadia if they actually just would release some of the old school games that I really want to play. Because the one thing I like about the old school games is they don't eat up hours and hours of your time. You want to fire it up, play a game, and put it down? You can do that.
Oh, some of them can eat up hours of your time.
Well, depends what you're talking about. You know.
Well, like Galaga, once you really get into it, and you look
good,
down at
I'm
the
not
screen.
Good, though.
You look down at the screen, you get started, and then you look up, and it's like 6 hours later.
I'm not that good, though. I just play it because I like to play it, you know. I mean, yeah, they got a lot of quarters off me when I was a kid, but.
You must really like Galaga, huh?
Well, games like that.
Right.
The Twitch Factor games.
But, well, when you get to be really good, it's like the guy in the arcade that used to be able to spend an hour on one quarter. I'm not that guy. Never was.
Let me ask you this, Joe. Did you play a lot of Galaga in the arcade?
No. I played some Galaga. I can't even remember what system I played it on. But before that, I was playing River Raid on an Atari 600.
Okay, well, let's just stick with Galaga for a second.
River Raid could take a while.
Did you have a lot of friends that played Galaga?
Friends?
Did you play? Okay, so let's.
He didn't have friends.
So you've played a lot of Galaga in your life, right?
I've played a bit of Galaga or similar games.
Let's stick with Galaga. Okay. You're very familiar with Galaga, right?
Somewhat familiar with Galaga, yes.
Have you ever heard it pronounced Galaga?
I have not.
Nope.
Because I have. Like, for a while, I heard people saying Galaga instead of Galaga, and I'm like, wait, have I been mispronouncing it all this time?
Are you sure they weren't talking about another game called Golgo 13?
No, not Golgo 13. I play Golgo 13. No, this was Galaga. They would pronounce it Galaga, and I'm like, oh, wait, I don't...
What the hell are you talking about?
I always thought it was Galaga because it was a sequel to Galaxian.
Yeah, I thought it was Galaga too, but I just heard people pronounce it Galaga anyway. River Raid was pretty cool for the game back in the day. I remember when that first came out, man. That was shit.
It was my mom's favorite, one of my mom's favorite Activision games from the 2600 days.
That was.
It's a fun game.
It's one of my favorites on the Ataris.
I know I've tried playing it recently, and while it's still a fun game, I don't think I could spend hours like I used to playing it anymore.
Yeah, I just played it the other day too.
That and like stuff like Zaxxon and everything. When I get into those retro games, I have fun, but then I get bored with them pretty quickly.
I used to get
what am I doing? I'm sorry.
I used to play a lot of MUDs, and I'd lose a lot of time doing that.
That's kind of fucking weird, but okay.
Whoa, that's too bad.
hey, what's wrong with MUDs?
No, there's nothing wrong with MUDs.
No, he's hitting buttons and making noise.
I'm trying to get this working properly. And
that's kind of fucking weird, but okay.
Alright, so I got something, but I just gotta make
that
sure.
That kind of sounded better, but okay.
Yeah, I gotta keep this. There we go. I just gotta keep the cool up. It's so sensitive. Sorry. See, now we got. Oh. I'm sorry, Joe.
See, Mordancy just. Mentioned RetroPie, and that would be nice to set up. But one of my biggest problems with setting up RetroPie is basically I want to play on the traditional controls.
You can generally buy the traditional controls that have been converted to USB,
right?
And for between $10 and $15 each.
Yeah.
Yep.
You want them on the traditional controls, or would you be okay with the gamepad?
The games that I want to play, you can't necessarily get those controls. Like, for example, Star Wars.
Would you be okay with them on the traditional controls, or would you be okay on the gamepad?
More okay on the traditional control than on a gamepad. You know,
then you're just gonna have to suck it up and learn how to build your own controllers.
Now, how do you build a controller
It's not that hard. It's really not that hard. There are tutorials everywhere.
Anywho. But you see, but it's not just building the control, it's also configuring it too. And
that's not difficult at all.
Well, if you have time, it's not difficult, but that's the thing, is I don't have the freaking time.
Mostly people have already done it for you, and then as long as there is an input, you can set it to anything. No. As long as there is an input, once you have that USB controller there and you say, okay, this is A, this is B, this is whatever, 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 all the way through the list, RetroPie will let you reconfigure everything so that all those controls do exactly what they're supposed to do. Your excuses are running out here. Just say you're lazy and don't want to do it.
Well, there is that too, but... but... There's always stuff that are more important. Always. Well, you're right. I don't want to do it more, Lord Nancy. Well, it's okay. If I want to spend time, I don't necessarily want to spend a lot of time setting something up that only I'm gonna dick around with. You know, I like playing with that stuff. My son kind of likes it, but he's more of we have the SNES Mini. He loves that thing. He actually plays it more than he plays his Xbox, believe it or not. 360. We don't have the new one yet, but it's like the ones I really want to play. You know, they're the ones that are going to be harder to get the control. I mean, I said harder, not impossible.
Because a lot of your old controllers, not your oldest of the old controllers, but know your 90s era controllers, they're easily convertible to USB,
right? Oh, those ones, yes. But
or you can just, you know, buy the converters that they make for most of the other controllers, and then you're done.
Now, there is one that I really would love to figure out, and it's not one that you probably ever played before, but if you look at Rogue Synapse, they're the ones who did, basically, they have... the actual video game from The Last Starfighter that was never made. They basically developed it, all right? So you can play it on a PC. And somebody out there has actually built a cabinet that looks identical to the movie cabinet, with the exact controls that Alex Rogan used in the movie. I thought that would be awesome, but... again, it's the time. That one there is more than just time on the technical pieces. It's time with the building pieces. And I don't have a saw on all that stuff either yet. So, you know, not that can do stuff like that. It's like you ever watch Adam Savage's One Day Builds? It's like I see his shop and I think, I'd love to...
No.
Learn how to do that stuff, but I don't have the kind of money that he has to build a shop like that.
There are actually a lot of YouTubers like that. Like this one guy that I like to watch that doesn't have very many videos, but all of his videos are pretty darn awesome, and that's DIY Perks. That guy has tools that I'm not going to go out and buy for one bill.
Yep.
Gosh, darn it.
But I would happily go buy a arcade 1-up Star Wars game and be very happy with having that. Plus, that one you can play all of the Star Wars arcade games from the 80s, including the Return of the Jedi and the lesser-known Empire Strikes Back one.
Well, when I'm done with this one, I'll be able to play all those games too. And then any other game that I want.
But...
Yeah, and honestly, actually, it's not even that difficult to work.
More of a no. It's, and I actually have more luck getting family to mess around with my MB server than I do something like that. You know, the MB, we actually at Christmas time would use the heck out of it because I bought quite a few of the Rankin Bass movies during the holidays. I have like Rudolph and Frosty and so on and so forth. And I ripped those with, I do have a USB Blu-ray disc, ripped those and put them on my MB server, and it plays great on it. Plus, I just went to the effort of going through. Well, probably one thing I like about MB over Plex is that it, as long as your files are named somewhat close to the title of the movie, it will go out and get the like the DVD cover and all that, and attach that to your file in the MB server. So you have to kind of sometimes, if you use a shorthand in your name of your MP4 file, it will not work. It downloads like I have one that downloaded some really off the wall stuff into it, and I'm like, which freak. Oh, it's that movie. Okay, let me fix that. Because like one of them, like it had really weird metadata that it downloaded. I'm like, okay, why? Oh, because I've got it named. Because a lot of times I just, when I ripped them, I just accepted whatever the file name, like if you ever look at the structure of a Blu-ray or a DVD. On a PC or, you know, or Linux laptop, doesn't matter. It has odd names for the folders and stuff on the Blu-ray or the DVD. And so Make MKV as well as Handbrake will usually end up just using that as its name, and I would say, oh, okay, I kind of know what that is. So that's close enough for me. Well, for MV, it's not close enough, because yeah, part of the problem that's with video files weird, is that where they're different than MP3s is you can't embed. There's no real ID3 tags for videos, at least in the common MP4 and M4Vs that I use. So it just goes on the file name. So it's like. It takes a guess when it's scanning your library, but I also found I had two different folders. I had one that had the HD movies in it, and then I had another that had all the DVD rips. One of them was on, I think the DVD rips were over on like a FAT32 drive on my Open Media Vault. I had to move them all over onto an EXT4, or it's either, I think that one's, actually it's either EXT4 or NTFS, I can't remember what I formatted that drive, because a lot of times I just took however the drive was formatted, or I was using them on a laptop, and if it was formatted in FAT32, I kept it that. If it was formatted in NTFS, I kept it that, because as long as Linux read it, I didn't care. But what I discovered with MB is that sometimes, usually it's the FAT32 volume, it doesn't seem to pick up the media that's on that volume for some whatever reason. I'm not exactly sure why that is. So I just copied everything over until it was kind of in one folder, and it made it much better. So whatever, you know. I still have it sorted out. I still can find it when I have to look at it from outside of MB. So, but MB, I'm really liking that. It's a good server for media playing. Has a Roku plugin. Has an app for both iOS and Android. And you don't have to have a login on Plex. So basically, you can just put your own login in it when you set it up, and there you go. That's all you need. But they do have some additional licensing with MB. Like if you get like a pro MB license, then the app itself can download, like, say you're getting ready to go on a trip. You can fire up MB when you're on your home network and then have it download movies to your iPad or your phone so that you can play those without being able to log into your MB server remotely. So it's kind of nice. But Joel's not paying for that. I got other ways to watch stuff when I'm on the road. Which, as of late, hasn't happened. Thank you, COVID. So the moral of the story is, if I can get my family to use it, I'll spend time with it. If I can't, I won't.
You're saying your family wouldn't like an arcade?
Well, they would if it wasn't, you know, they don't put up with any the technical issues that I would put up with, they wouldn't put up with. So if we have a power outage and something doesn't work on it, they'll stop using it.
They just throw their arms up in the air and say, I quit?
They will. I won't.
Oy, 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 oy. Well, you could just fix them for them.
They don't like that either. Actually, dude, I do need to look at my son's laptop. Probably I'll do that over the weekend.
What do you do to it?
My wife says it's slow. I'm like, oh, Lord.
His Windows laptop.
I use the bathroom.
No.
No. Peggy, you're not allowed.
So much for that cable.
Time.
What happened to his laptop?
I don't know yet. All I know is my wife says it's slow. I'm like, do you know when the last time he ran Windows updates on it? Probably not, but I'll have him bring it out and look at it. It's 2-3 years old, so.
You know what? You know what to solve that slowness?
Switching to Linux.
Take your pick. Ubuntu, Debian, Arch.
CentOS.
Tumbleweed or OpenSUSE. You know, yeah, CentOS. There you go. Get it now before it's gone. Fedora. Don't forget Fedora.
MX.
I don't know if I'd run Alpine Linux as a desktop. That would be...
Just go PinGuy.
PinGuy. Arch. No. Linux from scratch.
There you go. I'll tell you what, man. I'm digging this Tumbleweed system. I am really digging Tumbleweed. You know what I'm not digging? Here's a couple things I'm not digging. My one of my middle daughters wanted a tablet.
For Christmas. Can you tell us last week?
What?
You bought an iPad last?
No. Wait. Let me clarify. Not that kind of tablet. The kind of tablet that you write with.
Oh, like a bookie board or something.
The Wacom tablet type thing, whatever. She wanted a tablet. She has a Chromebook, and.
Good luck.
Yeah, that's and it never dawned on me that these things would not work, and so I was completely out of the loop on this whole thing, and so she got the tablet for Christmas, and a couple of days later, it's like laying on my table. And I'm like,
well, you gotta go buy a laptop.
I'm like, well, Why is this over here? And my wife's like, well, we got to send it back because it doesn't work. I'm like, what do you mean it doesn't work? It's like, it doesn't work with her laptop. And I'm like, let me see. I'll be the judge of that, right? So I read on the website, you know, I looked up the tablet model and everything, and then big thing said, like, a few months before Christmas, back in the summer, they were like, it works on Chromebooks. And they had a video of a person using it on Chromebook. So I plugged it in a Chromebook. I couldn't get this damn thing to work properly. Come to find out, it'll work on specific applications, but only like...
But not all?
But only those like drawing features of it. The thing is, you can't... Like with a tab, like normally you can use it almost like a mouse or a trackpad or whatever and position right. The cursor where you want. You can't do that with this. You have to move the cursor with the pad, and then you can start drawing at that location. And as I watched the video of them a little closer, that's exactly what I saw going on there. They would move the track, their finger on the trackpad of the touchpad, and then they'd start drawing on the, over there on the thing, and then they move the track, and then they draw.
What's
on
the
it.
Freaking point then?
Yeah, and I'm like, what a piece of garbage. Yeah, so, and I guess that's the state.
So you had to buy her a laptop.
No, I didn't buy her a laptop. I think they sent the tablet back. We're not.
Okay.
This is her school laptop that she uses, so. And it works perfectly. She just wanted it, like the trackpad thing there and be able to use it like a mouse too, which I'm really surprised. Like, I am just like really surprised that that functionality isn't there in Chrome OS.
Uh-huh.
Like, for how...
I wonder if she would are. Apple has that big, giant, huge trackpad. I wonder if she'd like that.
That big, if first off, right there, you said the dreaded the name Apple. So that means that big Apple, huge Apple trackpad is going to come with a big, huge price tag, doesn't it? Like, I could buy a whole new laptop before I could buy that trackpad, probably. Right? At which point, you know, yeah. Wow.
Well, that's like I want it some now. Right now, I'm using a Bluetooth Logitech keyboard with my iPad. Usually, what I'm sitting at my desk because I'll use it for taking notes and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And specifically, I'm using right now the Logitech. I can't read the stupid number on the back. K something. I can't read. It's the one. It's a K480. So if you look online for Logitech Bluetooth keyboard, this one actually has like a slot. So if my iPad wasn't in a case, I could stick it in that slot, and it would hold the iPad up at a nice angle. That's what I'm using right now, just because I haven't bought another keyboard. But the Apple one, like the Apple Magic one, or whatever they call it. For the iPad is $300.
Whoa!
That's right, like, now I'm probably
10 times
say,
the nope. price of what yeah. I'm seeing online nope. here.
Mm-hmm. So what I would do, if you're like me and you do have an iPad, which, you know, let's face it, there are people that do, even in the Linux community, get the Logitech. Logitech makes one. I have to look at my Amazon list. It's half cost, it's $150. And in some cases, it's better than the Apple version. The only kind of thing that's kind of interesting about the Magic one. Yeah.
Wait, you have to.
The Magic.
You have to get a specific one, though?
No, well, you can just use a Bluetooth keyboard like I'm doing. That also works as well.
Okay.
Now, the nice thing about both the Magic one and this Logitech one is it uses the Apple built these. There's like these three pads, magnetic pads on the back of it. And those actually basically will make a physical connection. So it's not Bluetooth. So there's no potential issues with lag or anything like that, which To be frank, I don't get that many issues with lag on a Bluetooth keyboard, but it can happen from time to time. So the Logitech Folio Touch iPad keyboard case with trackpad, that is $159.99, which is half the cost of the Apple version. The only kind of difference between the Apple version and that one is the Apple version has a USB-C port that's kind of at the keyboard level, so you don't have to plug in your iPad's normal USB-C port to charge it while you're using it. So it kind of makes it a little nicer, but I ain't paying $300 for it. And to be honest, the only time I would use it is probably if I'm out and about. Like if I took it with me to a church board meeting or something, I'd take it out of the normal case and throw it in that case just because I'd have a keyboard with me. Most cases, if I'm using a keyboard, I'm sitting here. So my Bluetooth one works just fine, and it costs far less, and I've had it far longer. And the nice thing about the K480 is you can have it connected to up to three different devices. So, like, you can have there's a dial on the side, so you can have it paired up to your iPad. You can flip that dial and have it paired up to a PC. You can flip that dial again, have it paired up to your phone. So you use the same keyboard with up to three different devices. So, but there is kind of a nicety of making your iPad essentially a laptop is what it would be like, because both the Logitech one and the Apple one have a trackpad on it. So, but Bluetooth ones also work fairly well. So, yeah, in a lot of cases with Apple, it's not necessarily the hardware itself, like the computer itself, that costs a lot of money. It's the freaking accessories. Well, that, and anytime you buy an Apple device, make sure that you buy it with the most amount of RAM you could possibly ever think you might need.
Well, same thing with razors.
Yep. Well, especially thin laptops. You definitely want to do that.
Do your research and, find out whether or not the RAM is soldered in.
Exactly. And that's one thing. Actually, one thing you'll learn about the Atari VCS is it actually doesn't have its RAM soldered in. It's socketed. Just uses plain old SIMs.
Cool.
So let's see, what would it cost to buy that the Magic Pad or whatever they want to call it?
You asking how much an Apple Magic Pad is?
At least they didn't do something stupid with. I'm looking. At least with those, they're not Apple specific, and that means you can use them with pretty much anything that uses Bluetooth. So let's see.
Boom.
Magic Trackpad 2. yeah. Here's your price. This is why you probably won't buy one. $149.
You get it for $123 on Amazon.
Oh, well, I was looking directly in the Apple store, so.
It's still about $100 more than I would like to pay, so.
I was going to say.
It's about $100 less than I expected it to be.
Yeah, I know. Right. I'm surprised. Well, like it's so
Magic
affordable.
Mouse 2 is $99. And the Magic Keyboard is $129. Well, you got to look at those. Like, each one of those, though, are fairly small devices comparatively to, like, if you bought something similar. It was like a Kensington or a Logitech branded item. It might not be as slim. But then again, like, I watched 8-Bit Guy did a history of Apple keyboards from the very first, from the I think mostly centering in on the Mac. All right. So from the very first Mac keyboard all the way up to the latest greatest, which is the Magic Keyboard, they made a wired version at one point. Now they don't have wires on any of them. And he says he really likes how that looks, but he won't buy them anymore because you just get like a little tiny drop in the keyboard and the keyboard's done. You know, so like if you accidentally spill a dribble of your coffee on your keyboard, forget it. It's history. So he won't buy them anymore.
Yeah, and from what I understand, you really can't work on Apple keyboards and put them back together when you're done.
Oh, no. I mean, they're just like their some of their laptops. actually, I should say probably all of their laptops now. Now, see, if I did ever buy an Apple laptop, I probably wouldn't buy the Pro model.
You know, one of the things that really chaps my ass about...
Because of that infernal trackbar thing.
Besides the trackpad bar, one of the things that really chaps my ass about the Apple laptops is I have no idea whether they're charging or not if it gets down to a certain point and it shuts itself off. Like, I sat there today because I had a problem with an outlet. My outside outlet tripped and... it wouldn't reset, so I was running around trying to figure out why it's, and it knocked out all the outlets in my dining room. They're all on the same circuit, and I'm like trying to figure out what's going on here because I can't reset it. None of the other outlets work, and the circuit breaker's not tripped, and so I'm not getting any power or anything coming out of these things. And I had my laptop off the charger. And here's the other pain in the ass. Like, I have no device that I could easily plug in and tell whether it's working or not, other than my one laptop, my Chromebook. Because, like, everything else, I'm like, it's either a large, bulky appliance or something. It doesn't tell me that it's charging or have that power indicator.
So your Mac, does it, your Mac have a USB-C port for a charger, or?
I wasn't using my Mac, I was using my Chromebook, because that has the indicator, I can look at the battery see whether it's charging, right? But I didn't have my MacBook, and this took a little longer than I expected, and my battery just drained like lightning on my MacBook.
Wow.
To a point where when I came back, it was like, it wasn't on. And I'm like, oh crap! It probably went into its sleep mode. So I pressed the power button to get it back on, and I'm waiting. Nothing's happened. I press it again,
And Meantime, your server's down.
I'm like, I think I exhausted it. I guess I got to plug it in. So I plugged it in, and I'm sitting there waiting for it to charge. And I press the power button, and it comes up with that little red indicator with the plug and the charger. I'm like, is it charging? It's like, I don't know if it's charging or not. It's not telling me whether it's charging or not. It looks like it is, but it's not, like, there's no clear indication. I see a lightning bolt there. I see the cord, and it says plug it in. I don't know what's going on the damn thing. So I let it sit for a bit, and I press it again. It doesn't look like it's doing anything. Finally, I just took it and I switched it from the left side of the laptop to the right side of the laptop, and then boom, it starts coming up again. I'm like, I just want a way to indicate on something whether or not it's charging.
Now, are you talking about like a physical, like, light indicator, or just something in the OS?
I don't get, you know, like how every other device.
Doesn't matter, right?
Every other device, when you see that little charge battery and the indicator, it's got a lightning bolt inside it that you know it's charging. Like, Apple choose not to do that. I don't on this thing, and I don't know why. I can't tell whether it's charging or not.
That's like now my work laptop, when I'm ready for a replacement. One of the things that I hate is it seems like every laptop is doing this now, is they put all the fucking connectors on the side. Okay. Aww. You know, and you would think, especially now, because now they have more room on the sides now, because who buys a laptop with an optical drive anymore? You know? so I have like a Dell something. I don't remember. I think it's one of their workstation class laptops from like a year or so ago. I think I got it right before I moved over to the cloud services. So actually, probably this spring, I think I might be due for another one. So I might actually switch over to the Mac just because the dock they give you, at least the one I have on this one, unless I guess it's going to depend on the Windows laptops, what Thunderbolt dock they include with it. Because without a Thunderbolt dock, you can't plug HDMI in directly into the laptop. I don't think. I might be able to, but still, it's a hassle to do that. With a Thunderbolt dock, you can leave the screen plugged into the dock. So if I go have to go to Lake Mary or wherever, once we finally start traveling again, it's just easy. Like, I have the power cord that came with the laptop is stuffed in my laptop bag. Throw my laptop bag or laptop in the bag. I don't have to take anything else with me. Well, anything but a mouse, because I can't stand using a trackpad to do work. So I have a Bluetooth mouse, Logitech one, actually. But the dock is nice. You know, it lets you get around that. So the only problem is the only Thunderbolt port on this laptop is on the left-hand side of my laptop. And it's maybe an inch away from the keyboard. So guess what Joel does at least once a week? I bump into that frickin' USB-C/Thunderbolt port. And then my outside screen goes off. I lose my network connection because that's how I have my Ethernet connected to that dock too.
Get a right angle cable.
I tried that actually. You know, I bought an extension cable. They do make them that has a right angle one, so that it kind of lays it because the way it is, it comes straight out. It doesn't like it's not a right angle. Okay, so I tried that. I couldn't get the dang extension to work, so I threw it out. Cause I'm like, it just never would work. So, I don't know. I'm guessing it's just not a common USB-C extension won't work for that because it is technically a Thunderbolt class port, you know. So, but it's just like I bump that dang thing every single time, you know. I'm in the middle of and then I lose my network connection because my VPN will drop and but I've been better at not hitting it. And if it gets to be too much of a problem, I'll just get a external Bluetooth keyboard and mouse kit and only use the laptop's keyboard when I'm traveling because it's a pain in the ass. Especially when it goes down. Plus the outside cover of it is like these two plastic like shells, and that split apart one time, so I actually ended up super gluing it back together. But we'll see. I don't know. I'm hoping, because that's part of the problem is especially the PC ones seem to only have like one USB-C port. So, and I would absolutely love, and it's starting to hit. But not the amount that I want. I'd love it if I can buy like a 4-port USB-C multi-charger. Best I could do is 2. Rad Power has a gallium arsenide-based charger that has 2 USB-C ports and 2 USB ports.
Yeah, it takes a lot of power. And even then, with that 90 or 100-watt charger you're talking about, it splits those watts between the two when they're both hooked up. So you lose fast charging if you hook up two devices.
Yep. So it's like I'd love to have one just for – well, like I could probably plug – like one of those double USB-C chargers, I could probably plug in like my phone and my headset because both of them are USB-C. But my iPad's also USB-C. My iPhone, my work iPhone is still Apple Lightning cable, which is shit, but, almost makes me wish. And when we bought, my wife needed a new iPad before I did. And so I kept trying to talk her into an iPad 4. Kind of glad I didn't, because it started to get hard to find. Because that's what I ended up getting. But I found a refurbed Apple iPad Pro, but not the latest Pro that runs off USB-C. It would be the last Pro that ran off of a Lightning cable. Fortunately, she hasn't killed one yet. If you do have devices that have Lightning cables in them, like iPhones and stuff, whether it's for work or whatever, don't bother buying the Apple branded cables. Buy the Anker ones, because they're so much better and they last so much longer. So much better built than the stock Apple cables.
I guess they're cheaper too, right? You say that?
Amazingly enough, they're actually much cheaper than the Apple ones, but they're better.
Okay. Well, that's
in every respect. In every respect, they have a thicker cable on them. I think the Anker ones are even wrapped in Teflon. Ugh. Really, the same goes for their USB-C cables. Morty and C, I haven't actually set up MB to use remotely, because I only have like a small pipe going out anyway, so it wouldn't likely stream well pretty much at all. I think the max I got up is maybe 1 megabit, which is fine for this. But I'd imagine you could probably set up MB like on a Pi. Well, that's how I have it set up. Specifically, I have Open Media Vault 5, and that lets you install Docker. And it runs it out of a Docker container. That's how I run it.
How's your Pi doing with the transcoding? Or are you converting
it
first?
A problem. No, I'm not having a problem with it at all.
I assume single stream?
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't tried more than one stream yet, but eventually what I would like to do is I'd like to go get a Pi 4 with a gig and flop that memory card over there, because it probably would definitely could use the extra cores. But the one thing I have noticed is after a while, I have an app on my iPad called, what do I call that at? What is that one called? Pi Helper. And basically, you just plug in your Pi's IP address, and it uses SSH, connects to it, and then gives you the CPU, memory, disk on the first page. You tap on any one of the Pi's, and it drills down in and gives you the CPU, memory, CPU processes, as in the top ones, and disk space, and also the temperature, too. Currently, my Pi that runs MB and Open Media Vault, the CPU is at 52 degrees centigrade, as well as the GPU. I have seen it go high enough when I have some of the streams that it will start to get into the throttle temperature range. It doesn't die, but it does work. But it does start to get into the throttle range. So, I imagine the Odroid would more dancing, because the Odroid has got a much better processor, at least especially than Pi 3. I'm not so sure about the Pi 4, but of course, then there's also the Rock Pi, which have you heard of that yet? I guess nobody has. RockPi is an x86 based single Pi, RockPi X. Thank you, Mordancy. But it's the it's an x86 based single board computer. So I think it's got an Atom chip in it, or a variant of it. But one of our favorite single board computing YouTubers, Explaining Computers, Christopher Burnett, he recently did a video on how the Rock Pi / Raspberry Pi. What's the difference? which runs better, the Pi 4 or the Rock Pi X. And generally, the Raspberry Pi actually ran better than the Rock Pi X. It shows you how much more efficient the ARM based devices are. So, but it's nice that you have that because you can pretty much load up any Linux distribution on a Rock Pi X. So you have a lot more options available to you. Thank you. It's a Intel Atom X5Z8530 CPU, 4GB LPDDR3, 32GB eMMC, which is your onboard storage, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, PD 2.0, which I believe that's the USB-C. It also supports Quick Charge 3 and Power over Ethernet. So, but the Rock Pi. It's one of those I wouldn't mind having just because I would like to have an x86-based Linux server somewhere. Because sometimes it's easier to find stuff for the X32, or X86, I mean. And the X86, well, of course, you know, if you really have to have a system, a cheap Windows system, actually that would work as a cheap Windows system as well. Probably not great, not as good as Linux, but it's one of those things I've been thinking about getting. But right now, I would probably stick to the ARM-based devices. I would probably upgrade that server to a Pi 4. And the nice thing about it is I should be able just to yank the SSD card, you know, shut it down, take the SSD out of the Pi 3 and put it in the Pi 4, and it probably should work. The only thing it may not work is it may not address all 8 gigs of that RAM, because I believe that image that I have, which is based on Raspberry Pi OS, is a 32-bit image, not a 64-bit one. So if I wanted to truly take advantage of an 8-gig one, then I would probably have to switch to 64-bit one. But so I could probably get it. I probably can just get a Pi 4 with a 4-gig of RAM, and that would be just fine. And also probably, if I bought a Pi 4, I'd probably get a better case than I have it in now. I would probably put in like something that would allow active cooling.
Yeah. It's not as much of a necessity as it was when it first came out.
True.
But it is helpful.
But if you're running, I would say, if you're running like MB or anything that does video transcoding, it's going to be CPU intensive, so you want to keep that sucker cool.
Yeah, just get one of the aluminum cases that also acts as a heatsink. You'll be fine.
Yep. What's the one I've been thinking of that's really nice? It has Arctic. I don't want to say Arctic Pi, but I'm not sure if that's the case or not. No, Argon I don't one. Know. Argon one. I know what it is. It's the Argon one. And one nice thing about that one is it comes with a board that plugs into the Pi and essentially moves all of the ports to one side of it. So instead of having one end that has the Ethernet and the four USB ports and the other side the charger and all that, you plug this board into it and it basically moves all those ports to the back of the system. And it has a magnetic cover over the GPIO pins. And then, of course, I would keep the Pi 3, and I would probably do something with a... I've always... One of the things I need to work on is working on something that uses the GPIO pins. Like, I was thinking it would be kind of cool to control some lights with it. But I'm still trying to figure out what kind of lights I would be able to control with that. I guess I just haven't researched it that well. Or, actually... another good thing I could use with the Pi 3 for would be a magic mirror. Because I've been thinking about building one of those.
Everybody thinks about building one of those.
It seems to be one of the most common projects people do with the Pi. What's funny is I'm on like a couple of Facebook groups for the Pi and single board computers in general. Specifically, actually, the one really good one is was started by Chuck Payne, good fan of the show, on Facebook. And I'm not sure if it was in that group or if it was in another one that I'm on, where somebody posted, "How do you like my magic mirror?" And it was just a Pi hooked up to an LCD. I'm like, it's not a magic mirror. It was just a nice display. And I'm like, yeah, it's nice, but it's not a mirror. I almost always see those magic mirrors too. Like, if you look up the Vilrose kit, for building a magic mirror on Amazon, they have at least one picture that shows it hanging over a sink, but no wires coming from the back of it. And I'm like, well, how are you powering in that thing?
They put it over a wall outlet?
Why would a wall outlet be over top of your bathroom sink?
Because... your lights reasons. Are over your bathroom your sink, and it's really easy to put in a wall outlet?
Okay, I can give up that. Yeah, but I'm just looking from the perspective of someone who, you know, actually might not want to put a hole in their wall there. No, you know, not. I mean, if I really wanted to, I would do it. But you know, because it would be kind of nice over the sink. Because
it'd be
kinda
covered up too.
Yep. There's that. Might be something I do when we do our first remodel.
Well, if you do your magic mirror right. You raise it, you have it up high enough that it's actually covering where your light would be. Then right. You can use it to also, you can run strip lights around the edge of your mirror and use that for your light.
Right. Or what you can do is you can have them, well, see, that's the only thing though is you'd almost have to have them run a different circuit there. Because you can have them put an outlet right behind where the mirror would go. Wouldn't necessarily want to branch it off of where the lights are, because this would have a switch, a wall switch, which would be bad. Because it'll shut your Pi off, you know, just by flipping a switch. Technically, you can get around that, though, if you had, like, a battery pack. There's a Rovio battery pack. Rad Power. Not Rovio. There's a Rad Power battery pack that you can get that will run the Pi at the same time as it's being charged. So essentially it could be
A pass-through battery.
Yep, one of those. And at that point, it doesn't matter if you flip
the
switch
but
off.
But the problem with most pass-through batteries is they are pass-through, but once you apply power to them or remove power from them, they power cycle because they switch how the circuitry runs. There aren't many that have that power cycle issue resolved. The easier way.
There's at least one I know of because Dor talked about it.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Just usually they're a bit more expensive too.
Right.
And you were right your first time saying you could just put them on two different circuits, or
yeah,
you know, remove remove the switch entirely and have it voice activated, and power stays to the Pi.
Right. Or just have if I had them redo that, I can just have them take that off the circuit and just put a smart fixture in.
Yeah, or have a switch on the side of the magic mirror that you're making that turns the lights on in the front of it.
There you go. But I'm not going to put one in the bathroom either, because I just don't really think it's that... I mean, it's kind of cool, but you know, it'd be kind of cool to have one in the bathroom, but I actually would prefer it not to be there.
It's one of those things that's kind of cool for the first 10 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is probably why I've never done it. I mean, it sounds like a great idea, and the first couple days you go in there and you're all psyched up about it.
Well, then I think how often
I'm watching a YouTube video while I'm brushing my teeth. I know what the weather is, and then, you know, come day four, I just want to brush my damn teeth and get out of here.
Exactly. Well, yeah, it's like how often you really need to see the freaking temperature calendar, you know, and you have a phone in your pocket too. So, dumb things we do with pies. See, and another dumb one I will see on a pie group every once in a while is they'll say, "How can I make a drone with a pie?" I'm like, "You don't. You buy a dedicated microcontroller and use that to make your drone."
You can do it with a Pi, but then you have to buy all of these other controller things to go along with it. And by the time you're done, it's so heavy that it's never going to fly.
Yeah, I mean, now what you could do is you'd have your flight control system separate, and then you could power like a Pi Zero for powering the camera. You know, or something like that, but you control the drone, it's probably easier to just use the other stuff. And a lot of times the other stuff, well, first off, it's already made, and a lot of times it's already programmed. All you gotta do is build it. It's like, you know, you might have to 3D print something, you know, but yeah. I don't know if I'd want to build a drone. I am jonesing to want to build something, but it doesn't necessarily have to be fully electronic or anything like that. You know, I think I'll think of something at some point. Like controlling strip lights actually would be kind of neat with a Pi. You know, get to have it change color. You know, RPG Pi. As much as I hate them in the desktop. I'm like, just make a freaking gaming desktop without all that LEDs. Did not too long ago pick up some more Bluetooth headphones, a set that I'm using with my iPad.
So did I. Well, I picked up more broken Bluetooth headphones that I'm going to try and work on. But I got them, and I don't know. I'm not impressed with the usability of the Anchor Sound Core, whatever the heck they are.
Oh, the cheap Anchor Bluetooth ones?
Yeah, I guess they're the cheaper ones, and, you know, I got four of them, but they're supposed to have noise canceling, so I wanted to try it out, and they're supposed to have 20-hour battery life, so I wanted to try that out, and one of them is, like, in perfect working condition, but it needs some preventative maintenance on it, or it's going to break eventually. And then one of them had a bad battery, and so I decided to use that to find out, you know, how to take them apart. And, yeah, I kind of tore it up a little bit getting it taken apart, but I found the ins and outs and where the problem spots were, and that's perfectly fine. And I can use some of those pieces on some of the other ones. But I want to do the MMCX conversion on them so that I can use my modular, really nice in-ear buds. So I will have to take them all apart to fix them, but it's not going to be that big of a deal. Technically, if I wanted to right now with the parts that I have, I think I could have two of them in like perfect, pristine, brand new working condition. But I'd rather do the mod to them because I like the sound of the One More triple drivers a whole lot better.
Right.
So
they just need to make Joe a kit to make his own custom Bluetooth headphones.
They have those. It's called Thingiverse. I'm serious.
I'm not joking. I know you're not joking.
I could make my own cans from Thingiverse if I wanted to. I have all of the STL files for that. But for in-ears, basically that if I wanted to make my own, I would start with an LG and build out from there.
Yeah, there you go. Let's see, the ones I picked up, I bought them at Sam's Club. They're relatively cheap. They actually sound pretty good. Are linear flux hypersonics.
I think we have different definitions of relatively cheap.
Yeah, let's say under 50. So
let's say between 10 and 15.
Yeah. The only thing I'm not too cool on, they were kind of a pain in the butt to get both earbuds to sync because these are kind of have no wire between the two.
Ah, the wireless, okay.
Yep. So
I'm sorry, go ahead.
As I say, and the battery life is, I've gotten, like, I used it a lot, like, over the weekend. I watched a lot of the Orville. I started binge watching it because we had the long weekend for Martin Luther King Day. And I'm trying to think, one charge on the buds themselves, probably 3 or 4 hours, maybe. Total, like if you count the battery that's in its case and the battery in the buds, total you get about 20-hour runtime, but you're going to have to take breaks to recharge the buds. Within they advertise it in the manual that you can charge them for 5 minutes and get an hour of runtime. So it's not like you charge them and it only lasts an hour. So if you're watching them and they go dead, then you just put them in there for 5 minutes and then you can watch for another hour. So it's kind of nice. So I think these ones are probably better for those who take a set of earbuds to work. Listen for an hour or two, go into a Zoom call, and while you're in the Zoom call, you plug them in the charger, and they're charged up by the time you get out of your call, and they're pretty good like that. I think my LGs last a little longer than these do, just because they have a bigger battery, and that's the only battery they have. They don't have a battery case, but I like them. I bought another. I really need another set of Bluetooth headphones. Like I need a Hornet, but I only have two that I use all the time, which are these Hypersonics and my LG. I have a cheap set that I got not this year, but last year for Christmas from my nephew. Those are like my backup pair. You know, when everything's dead, I'll switch to those because they sound pretty awful. I think these were like ones I picked up. They picked up at Ollie's for like $10.
Yeah. Well,
I
did see a set of like, I think it was 20 of the Galaxy Buds Plus that were broken with various faults for $50 total from Canada. Huh?
Are those the bean ones? The bean looking ones?
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty small. They're the wireless, And my issue with it is the Buds Plus tend to have batteries go out on them really quick, and you can't find batteries for them to do the replacement. The replacement on them is not easy, but it's also not overly difficult. You just got to kind of get lucky with your vise to get it to come apart correctly. And if you can't find the batteries, there's really no point in me buying them to fix them.
Yeah.
We got to wrap this up. I got to get to bed soon. Mm-hmm. I'm tired, man.
We were random tonight.
Yeah, we were all over the place. Can be anywhere this week, Joe?
Oh, this week, yeah. Mintcast. Let me see. 1, 2, 3. Yep, just the Mintcast this weekend.
Right. About you, Joel? You gonna be anywhere?
My couch.
There you go.
No, not gonna be on any shows. I may bring out another vlog this week. I did take last week off of living in the shade. I think I'm probably gonna do. I might do Galaxian and Galaga for my next show. I think that'd be a good topic because I don't think I've talked about those yet.
Joel would like that.
Absolutely.
But and then other than that, I just got dinner somewhere, but a socially distanced one, of course.
There you go. Alright. Alright, let me play us out without the terrible audio, hopefully. So we'll be the judge of that. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you in a week. Here you go, Joe. Here are your promos.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
I'm going to stop this recording, Joel. And Joe. I know Joe's excited.
Mm-hmm.
He's thrilled.
Big boy. Oh, tired.
Micro Center has some good prices on SSDs right now.
Yeah. I did think about that for a laptop I usually use. This one actually happens to be my wife's old one, and it only has 4 gigs of RAM too.
I mean, they're definitely not the fastest SSDs on the market, but can't really argue.
No.
Guys, it's Flying Rich here, and I just like to get...
Loud, high-pitched tone, really annoying.
Dan, what'd you do?
There. This is...
Sounds like a loose cable.
Guys, it's Flying Rich here. And I just like to get a little on.
That's definitely a loose cable, yeah.
That's a
bad
cable.
Why you got so many cables, man?
That's a bad 3.5 millimeter cable or a bad 3.5 millimeter jack.
Maybe.
Let me see if I can. Hold on. Let me see if I can fix this. Not. Ugh. Hold on, I'll be right back. Can you hear me?
We can.
All right, I'll be right back.
I got foundation.
You're wearing your makeup?
No, my house.
A little room.
Slab is all poured. Well, we shall find out if they started framing this week or not. They might.
There you go, Joel.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I know. One thing I noticed too, as kind of poking around at lunch, looking at gaming PCs, and I thought, does every freaking gaming PC have to have freaking RGB in it?
Yeah, it seems to be a requirement.
Lately, as of late, yeah. Or water cooling too.
Water cooling in a laptop.
Guys, it's Flying Rich here. I just like to get a little on my tongue.
What the hell?
Guys, it's
Rich.
So you replaced the cable, but it still sounds like garbage. So that means a bad jack.
Wait.
Uh-huh.
Wait, did I have it plugged in all the way?
Guys, it's Flying Rich here. I just like to get a little on my tongue.
That's the recording there. Because the noise is the same every single time.
Guys, it's...
Yeah, well, I don't think that's recording, because if I do this one...
It's a little thing tech show.
Yeah, it's definitely not the recording. Well, I don't know if it's the recording or not, because that sounded okay.
Pizza, pizza.
I can hear
it. Too.
There's a little bit there.
Yeah, I don't know what that frequency
is. Are you making egg foo young in the kitchen?
That sounds good.
Yeah, I can still hear it. Hold on. Let me see if which jack it is. Oh. That does me no good.
Time to order some USB sound cards from China. Like $2 each.
Are they any good?
Some of them, it's like half of them actually work the way they're supposed to.
So annoying.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Four terabyte SSDs.
Guys, it's flying.
Ooh!
Ouch. 8 terabyte SSD. Only $900.
Only. Yeah, it doesn't matter whether what I look at, whether I, because I'm primarily looking at something like I had a vlog I did.
Guys, it's
in almost all 4K video. It was 15 minutes long, and it took an hour and a half, to encode down to 1080p. So it just did not work well on my Surface. Probably wouldn't work well on my my Lenovo either. So I think it might be time to look at that, because I don't really necessarily want a new computer, but I was thinking, once we get in the house, I'll have.
Oh, 10 minutes after you buy a computer, you want a new computer.
Well, yeah, but that's usually the case. But I just want something that has a little bit better graphics card in it.
Yeah.
Things like that.
It's almost time for me to get a new gaming laptop.
Yeah. So it's like, I decided, do I want like an all-in-one? You know, actually, yeah, Macs are on the table. Specifically the iMac, not the Pro, but the iMac. Or, I guess, the Mac Mini, the M1 Mac Mini, maybe.
Well, I'll probably stick to MSI for my gaming laptop.
But no matter what I look at, I'm looking at least $2,000. So...
I'm not.
Yeah. I really wouldn't mind having the Surface Studio 2, which is just a massive screen and all that, but $3,500, I'm just like, no, I don't think so. And that's the thing I thought about, you know, well, if I bought a Mac Mini, then I'd probably have to buy a screen attached to it, too. And I don't know. I kind of want one where I can, like, if I want to stuff a hard drive in it, like a large one, I can, just to get rid of, like, hard drives hanging off the side like I have now.
On an annual subscription, when you use only $99, it's one of the best deals we ever offer.
That's
on membership.
TV.
But you gotta be quick. Click the blue button on this ad to see if the coupon code is still active.
Well,
because
yeah,
we will
up.
Not run this forever. Ooh. Our award.
And then it got worse again.
Well, no, I expect to get worse.
Sounds like a nice ad.
I was playing that off on my phone. So.
Ah.
Ah. Goodness gracious. Oh, I didn't realize this was going on. Let's try this.
Boy, that sounds like shit.
I know, it's because I'm moving the audio cable around and it's causing. So now I'm trying to, I'm trying to find out which audio jack is bad. Give me one second.
Nice. More Nancy got Ubuntu Touch running on the Xiaomi Redmi Note 7. The only question is, does it still work as a phone? Yeah. Well, that's good.
Oh, jeez. You know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to work on this for a minute. I know this is going to...
Whoa! Just get rid of this machine that plays all the crap.
Guys, it's
and add it later.
What I'm going to do is I'm just going to... I know where the problem is.
He's just gonna.
Yeah, I'm gonna blow everybody's ear out. Hold on. I gotta fix this machine up here so I can play the audio from it. We'll see if that makes a difference. But I can't do that until I got to get something installed on it. Because it wasn't set up to do that. All right. I'm sorry, keep talking. Let me just fire this off then. Hello?
We all died.
Yeah, well, we
killed you, huh?
Nah. That sounds better now.
I haven't played anything yet. So,
not true.
That does make it sound better.
When I don't play anything over here, and as soon as
wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, as soon as I take care of this, I'm gonna pop this jack out, and we're going to.
Fostadon was being great lately.
This is 890. All right, so let's